We are joined by the manager in full uniform, the manager of the New York Mets, Carlos Mendoza. Can we call you Mendy?
Yeah, of course. Ready to go. Full uni. Happy to be here with you guys. Let's go.
Nice. How's it going, man?
It's going all right. And, you know, excited for this two-game set here against the Yankees. Obviously, guys started playing better. Mm-hmm. A lot of up and down, you know.
Sure.
Been through a lot, but here we are, ready to go.
What's going on with Edwin? Let's get that out of the way first. Is he going to appeal this, or does the suspension begin right now?
It begins right now. So he's not going to appeal. So, yeah, we'll feel it, obviously. We'll play a man short here for the next 10 games. We'll get through it, you know. Unfortunately.
Why the decision not to appeal?
Yeah, we don't want this to linger, you know, for a long time. We gotta get past this, you know. The more we wait, obviously that cloud is going to be on top of us, and we don't want that. So we just decided, you know, talking to him, his agent, his people, obviously, we thought it was best for him to just start.
Was he guilty? Is that why?
No, I mean, we're not going to get into whether was he guilty or not. Obviously, he's suspended, you know.
And, it doesn't matter whether he was.
You hate to see it, but here we are, and we just got to get through it. So
when this all went down, as a Met fan, most of us were sitting at home. All of a sudden, the ESPN broadcast comes back. We see this. I was very pissed off. I think I'm still pissed off. I'm pissed off at Major League Baseball. I'm pissed off at these umpires. I feel like they're very inconsistent. So I'm angry. You didn't seem angry. Why were you not angry about this?
I was angry, you know, right. The whole situation. You hate to see your closer in a situation like that. But, you know, they had the reason, obviously, you know. It's my first time looking at somebody's hand, at real time. So it was hard for me to tell what was too much, wasn't too much. But Edwin was pretty honest right there at the moment. He was like, hey, Vic, you know, like, I'm a man here, you know. Like, I'm telling you, he's Rosen and sweat,
right.
You know. And I believe Edwin, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, he was, again, you hate to see it happen. I was pissed,
right.
Even though I didn't show it.
Well, that's the thing. We didn't see it. So
I was, of course.
Does Major League Baseball clarify that at all? Like, because it feels so inconsistent how they adjudicate or how the umpires adjudicate that in real time.
Yeah,
so what's the process? Like, how do they explain it to you all?
Yeah, look, there wasn't much of an explanation when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, I'm reading the quotes from Vic, who I got a lot of respect for. And then I'm talking to Edwin after the game, too, you know, and I believe my player, you know, and I'm going to be right there with him. So, look, he was, you know, you hate to see it happen, you know, but they checked all the time. You know, they got a lot more experience than what we do, you know, obviously, and he felt it. It was a little too much. And then talking to Edwin, look, it was humid, and he probably went to it a lot more than he normally would, and that's why probably it was, a little bit stickier than normal, and that's what they felt. And again, I'm just ready to move on and get through the next 10 games, hopefully. You know, guys are going to have to step up. But here we are.
This is my last question about this. Do you know why, because you were with the Yankees, Clark Schmidt was given the chance to wash his hands, Domingo Germán given the chance to wash his hands, and Edwin Diaz was basically told, get the heck out of here? Do you know why the difference?
I think it's the stickiness, you know, because the color, if you see, you know, it's dark, and they don't feel like it's as sticky, they might say, hey, go wash your hands. But when they see color and when they feel like, hey, this is sticking their normal, then obviously they have to make a decision.
Yeah. If you have a one-run lead tonight, do you know in your head who you're handing the baseball to?
No. I'm going to be honest, because you got to piece it together, you know. Like,
right.
I got to get through the ninth inning, obviously, you know. And then, yes, when I'm making those decisions as the game goes on and I'm looking at potential matchups, okay, where we are, because I'm managing the sixth inning, but I'm already thinking about the seventh, the eighth, and the ninth, and then potential pinch hitter, who they got on the bench, what potentially the three hitters could be coming in the ninth inning. Like, what's the best matchup? But at the end of the day, like, if I feel the game is in the seventh and I need to bring my best guy there and shut that inning down, I'm going to go do it. If it's the eighth, and then, you know, you get to the ninth, like, all right, here we go. Go get the last three outs.
Did it help because Edwin missed some time earlier, obviously with shoulder discomfort? You had to navigate this already. So you kind of have a familiarity in your mind what you want to do in any given situation.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We're here, obviously, having fun, serious. Yeah. But I go back to my my experience managing winter ball. I was managing the bullpen since the third inning. Every time I have four innings out of my starter, it was a great day, you know. So, look, and when Edwin before he went down with his injury, you know, we took him out of the closer role, you know, for quite a bit there. And we were, you know, mixing it in and trying to move the puzzles here around. And then obviously when he went down, it's the same thing. So yeah, here we are in the same situation. I feel good with what we have available, and I know guys will step up.
Well, you're going to manage. We're talking to Carlos Mendoza. As you may know listening, they are down a guy. Like Edwin Diaz is suspended, and you don't get to replace him. Does that affect how aggressive you may be at pushing your starting pitcher to go deeper into a game, knowing you have one less arm available out of that bullpen because you can't replace Edwin Diaz?
Yeah, no, look, my job is to put the team and the players in a position where we feel they're going to have success, right? And my job is to win games as a manager. So I'm managing today's game to win today. And then if, you know, we have to make some adjustment and we have to make some move and things like that, we'll worry about that after the game. But my job is I'm winning today.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
Well, so we obviously know that what this game means. You've seen it from the other side, obviously, being with the Yankees. So the Subway Series now as the Mets manager means what to you?
Look, it's always special. You know, you got two teams with great talent. You know, obviously the Yankees got off to an unbelievable start. They got a really good team. And the way we've been playing, we got a really good team as well. You're looking at the best city in the world. You know, two fan bases that are very, very passionate about their team. They're intense. So it feels like a playoff atmosphere every time you play, whether it's here in Yankee Stadium and whether you're playing in May, June, July, August. It always feels special. And here we are, and I'm really looking forward to it.
At what point do you say, I can't play Jeff McNeil anymore because he's just been so not productive at the plate?
Well, look, I keep saying it, and I know fans will hate me, right? But he's our second baseman, and you look at the game on Sunday, he went 0-4, but he hit three balls right on the nose, right at people. So there's some good signs coming out of Jeff. He's continued to battle. Defensively, he's been right there, you know, the past couple of weeks. And look, man, like he's been a productive hitter for years, you know. You just don't forget how to hit out of, just like that. So he's grinding, and I'm very confident that he'll get through it.
So you continue to feel, because, look, it's tough. The guy won a batting title a year and a half ago. I understand that. But he's been bad for like a year and a half now. And I don't know why. I wish I had the answer. I don't know if you have the answer. I guess if you did, it would have already been solved. But you've got a guy in Jose Iglesias who apparently is like the rally cry of the team. Forget Grimace. He's got this OMG song that everybody loves. He's great defensively, and he's hit. Could there come a point where you just do, as you said, what's best for the team and say, I got to play this guy every day at second base? He's been really productive. He's been more productive.
Yeah, that's my mentality every day. And, you know, my job, again, is to win as many games possible and always focus on today's game. So, Jeff McNeil, I feel like today was the day for him. And I'll use the 26-man roster. Now 25 because we got one, right? So I'll use all of them. And if I feel like, hey, Jose Iglesias' matchup is what's best for the team now, I'm going to call his name.
I'm apologizing. He's the one idea I've had for a while on Jeff, because I do appreciate his versatility, is playing him more in the outfield, especially with Starling Marte
That's
out.
That's what I was going to say.
Will you plan on doing that? Maybe Jeff McNeil in right field, Iglesias at second base. Is that something you can...
100%.
Yes.
100%. And Jeff is on board. You know, he's willing to do whatever it takes to help the team win baseball games. And if we feel like, you know, tomorrow or the next day, the best matchup is to have Iglesias at second base and Jeff in right field, of course, 100%. So that is in the take.
What more can you tell us about Starling? In his knee.
Yeah, so he's going to be down for a while. You know, he's a.
Oh, I don't like the way you said that. A while. Well, you said it with like a while.
I mean, it's a bone bruise.
When I first heard it, it's bone bruise.
It's a bone bruise, but he's going to be 2 weeks without doing any baseball activity. You know, we got to limit the impact there. So best case scenario, right after the break. You know, obviously, I don't want to put a timetable here, but that's more realistic.
Is this a cartilage thing? Is this a bone on bone thing?
Yeah,
like a PLP? You got to put the platelet-rich stuff. Just age. It just comes with age.
Yeah, and look, credit to him because he just got worse, but he wanted to be there.
Right.
Even on Saturday, you know, it's like talking to him on Friday night after the game. It's like, hey, you want to take Saturday and Sunday and then leading to the off day on Monday and be ready to go for Tuesday? And he's like, no, I want to be there tomorrow. But then watching him go about his pregame, and there was something there that was like, you sure you want to go? And it's like, they want to be there, man. Like they want to. But after the first at bat, he's like, no, I think it's best for me to come out.
What have you heard? Because obviously you're managing the team up here, about Brett Beatty at second base. I know he's played there a little bit. Because I think a lot of Mets fans think, oh, call him up, move McNeil to right field. Is Beatty at the major league level an option at second base?
Look, he's going to continue to get work there. But he's played there twice.
That's not enough, apparently.
He's got to continue to get reps, you know.
That means Evan.
It's a lot that you're asking a kid that is come long ways at third base. Now you're asking him to play a different, you know, it's a whole new game. You know, you're not only talking about catching the baseball and throwing it over the first base. Mm-hmm. It's the cuts and releases, it's all the team defense, it's all the responsibilities that he's not used to, whether it's turning a double play, covering a base on a bump play. There's a lot of cuts and relays, throwing the ball the right way, to the right base. Like, we like where he's at, especially offensively. I was talking to Dick Scott, our AAA manager, the other day, and getting some feedback from him. He will continue to play some second base, obviously, but we're not there yet.
You guys have been playing a lot of great baseball the last couple of series here. Now, I want to ask the fan question. Is it Grimace? Is it this whole slap thing, whatever it is that guy, you guys are doing? Is it the OMG song? Like, how are you guys thinking about all of that stuff? Because that's what's dominating conversation outside of the organization.
Whatever that is, we'll continue to write it. You know, we'll leave it up to you guys and the fans. Like,
whatever you guys doing? What are you guys doing in the clubhouse?
We just continue to have fun, man.
Was it the closed-door meeting? Because jokes aside, right, like, the team, that is a line of demarcation with everything that happened that day. Do you think that got the team going?
Look, I mean, it was important for them to get together and, you know, get a lot of things off their chest and basically call each other out, you know, talking about accountability and how can we be better, you know, like, things got to get better. What are you doing? What do you need to be doing to help this team? So, it was a coincidence that we started playing better. I don't know. But
you say call some guys out. There's been some good teams where that's happened. I think back to the Seattle Seahawks back, you know, when they had their run and they were one of the Legion of Booms. That's all they did, is they would hold themselves accountable and they'd fight about it in some regards. Was it that?
Yeah.
Was it a little bit less than that?
Well, I leave that to the players, right? But since day one,
were you in there?
No, it was just players. Huh. It was just players.
Did you have spies in there?
No. I mean, that's their room, right? Like, but I'm glad they did it because this was when the Jorge Lopez incident, and we were dealing with that. I was like, you know, let me go do the media because I'm calling a team meeting. And as I'm walking toward the press conference, like, no, they're getting to it. I was like, great. So, you know, I'm glad that Francisco Lindor took over in that moment and he felt it, that it was needed to get the team together. So there's a lot that goes into it. But look, at the end of the day, we're playing real good baseball, and I expect this to continue.
So tell me if this bothered you, because it bothered me, and I remember voicing it on the air. So I don't think Jorge Lopez was trying to say this is the worst team ever. You agree with me?
Yeah.
And it got reported that way.
Right. No.
You pissed off at some in the local media that they took that and made it a thing, and I heard it, and I'm like, that's not what he's trying to say. I know English is not his first language. Trust me, my wife speaks fluent Spanish. I don't have the balls to just speak Spanish to her because I don't know enough, and I know I'm going to screw up. So I admire anybody whose second language is English to sit there and answer questions in front of the media, because I don't have the guts to do that. And I think Jorge Lopez got railroaded specifically for that. The glove throwing is a different thing. I think he got hosed. Did that bother you? And do you think that's something you should talk about to the media and say, get it right when someone's trying to do their best to communicate?
Yeah, look, it's hard for me to get into the details and how everything went down. At the end of the day, it was, you know, you hate to see that happen. And especially for, you know, a guy like that, that he's done a lot. He did a lot for us, you know, because he was available all the time. There were days where he would pitch back-to-backs and I would go up to him and say, hey, I have you down. He's like, no, I'm ready to go. So, like I said, yeah, it was an incident that, you know, looking back now, you hate to see it, but we needed to make a decision there and move forward.
Wait, was that specifically about he threw the glove, you were annoyed about it, have every right to be, and he didn't show remorse? Was that kind of the reason why it had to end with him?
Yeah, look, I mean, I know you have to answer those questions, but I'm not going to go into details how, you know, why the decision was made. Obviously, we made the decision that we felt was right for the organization. Obviously, I talk about the standards and things like that. Was it that specific incident? I'm not going to go into the details. But, I'm glad he's getting another opportunity with the Cubs, and hopefully we see him in the big leagues soon.
Yeah.
We're talking to Carlos Mendoza, manager of the New York Mets. All right, so in the early days of the Subway Series, I think Joe Torre and Bobby Valentine managed differently in these games. Like, they took it out like, all right, this is like our World Series. I know it's been a long time. Do you manage, and this is your first chance at it, but obviously you worked with Aaron Boone for a while, do you manage differently? Do you treat these games any differently as a manager than you do, you know, this weekend against the Astros?
Every big league game matters, man. You know, like, your job is to win as many games as possible. And, you know, for me, it's game seven of the World Series every day. Mm-hmm. That's how I treat this. You know, but a lot of things goes into it, whether what do you have available, who's on the bench, who you're facing. There's a lot of strategy that goes into it, right? But every game, and let alone, you know, the Yankee Mets, you know, like every game's a must. And there's always that sense of urgency, and that's how I'm going to approach it.
I think that'll change as you gain more experience, as you have more of these down the line. It'll mean a little bit more. It's not just the next game. It is an important game. At least that's what the fans are saying.
It's an important game, you know, and you're playing the Yankees. So,
what made you, because I think, you know, we talk about what sparked the team. I think there's a move you made that certainly sparked the team. Francisco Lindor, right, the leadoff hitter. What went into that decision that made you think, you know what, let me take him. He's done it before, but let me move him to the leadoff spot, and maybe this will kind of open up his game a little bit and really change the complexion of this lineup.
Yeah, I think looking back now, I was just trying to give a different look to the lineup, you know, and move people around, just kind of get things going here, you know. Nemo at the time, which he's now back to being the hitter that we know he is, but he was so clutch for us. And I was like, I'm trying to get a couple of guys on for Nemo here before, and, you know, and just maybe put a lefty after Alonso and Pete to try and protect them from a righty killer out of the pen. But and then talking to Francisco and Nemo too, because now you're not only moving one guy, you're moving two guys, because I was taking Nemo out of the leadoff spot, position where he's been for the past I don't know how many years. So talking to Francisco, obviously he did it when he first got to the big leagues with Cleveland, and you know, the mindset of setting up the table, you know, like, let me get on base, let me create something, let me start something here. He was on board right away. So, and then talking to Nemo, it's like, such a team player, you know, like, hey, we'll do whatever it takes.
Made
so
it
if
a
you
no-brainer.
If you feel like this is what's going to put us in a good position to move forward and get better results, I'm all up for it. And, you know, I ran with it. Obviously, you know, we've seen results, and yeah, here we are.
All right, we have Aaron Boone coming up here in a second.
Really?
You're likely not going to be here when he comes up here. But if you could give him a public message ahead of the Subway Series, what would you say to Mr. Boone?
Don't hit my batters. I'll hit your batters harder.
Be ready, Booney.
Yes. Nice. Is this OMG song any good, by the way?
It's really good.
It is.
Yeah, it is really good. You know, and I hope we're playing it after the game today.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, like, every time we get a W, you know, it's loud in that clubhouse. So hopefully,
I love it.
You know, one day at a time, hopefully today, you know, we'll play it.
Well, congrats on a good first season so far. Keep it going, and we appreciate you coming out today.
We got ways to go here, but we'll keep it going.
Yeah, we know. Thank you, Carlos.
Yeah, you got it, guys.
Mendy! Carlos Mendoza, the manager of the New York Mets, as the Mets get set to play one of two against the New York Yankees.